Lord, we love you and we are desperate for your presence. Yes. Lord, when you show up, everything changes. And we need you to show up. We need you to just come and breathe on every word we speak, on every word we hear. Lord, we need you to remove from us anything that could be blocking our spiritual ears today and our eyes to see. Lord, I believe you've given me a word to bring, and I don't want it to just be words. I want it to be living words. So we're just asking for you to bring the life and the power and the spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to do a little bit of inner healing foundation. We're going to talk about the mother heart of God. I don't know if you've experienced God as your mother. It's a little bit harder. You know, everybody goes, God is a man. But he said, I created men in my image, male and female. Everything we women are is also a reflection of God. There is a mommy side to Father God. And it's much easier. We meet the Lord. We meet Jesus as Savior. And he brings us to the Father, and we get to know God as our Father. Most of my inner healing, most all of my inner healing, has come from the Father heart of God. It was easier for me to move closer to a father image than it was a mother image. I asked God yesterday, why is that so? Because mothers are the ones who are so comforting and healing. Why did I go through so much healing in the presence of you as my father? And he said, because it's a little bit less physical. There was some physical. You can get up on daddy's lap and he can hug and kiss and play with you. But it's different than a mommy. And I have not been a physical person. You know, I wasn't raised in a home where we all hugged and kissed and said, I love you. And there wasn't a lot of that touchy-feely stuff. So I didn't grow up with that. You know, when I first joined a church, and all the women were hugging women, I'm like, what is this, a place of lesbians or something, you know? Women hugging women. So that was not natural for me. And, you know, I've grown in that, and I've come to want those things of God and want that. But I'm not an extremely emotional, touchy-feely kind of a person. You know, I'm more logical. So it was easier for me and my personality to open up to the intimacy with the Father God first. But lately, he's really been moving and speaking to me about our need to be mothered. So we're going to look at that today. As I was talking with Nate this week, and Nate and I both have prophetic gifting. And in that, there's some frustration. Because in prophetic gifting, it means that God brings you a word. God brings you a living, powerful, revelatory word. And it's like you've gone forward in time and you see that word so alive, so real. And now it's your position and your job to come and speak that word to other people until it comes alive in them. But now that word is coming through you, and a lot of people don't hear it as from God. But when God brings you a word, it is full of life. If you're able to open up and receive it as full of life. So what Nate and I were sharing was about carrying a message, carrying a word, you know. But God wants to give you a word about mothering this morning. He wants to speak his word to you. But you are going to have to lay down some reserves, some walls, defense systems. You're going to have to be able to say, I am so hungry to be mothered by God. I want this word to live and breathe in me and become powerful. Because when it does, everything changes. Don't hear this in your ears. Don't hear it in your ears. So let's just take a minute right now. Father, I need your word to live. I need it to breathe powerful life into me. I choose to lay down my pride, my defense systems, my reserves, my fears, all my hurts. I just want to be open and vulnerable and receiving to you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jeremiah 1, if you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to see some mothering, but first we're going to see how it began, how this mothering, powerful transformation came to Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. It began with a word. God came and spoke to Jeremiah, saying, verse 5, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. We're going to stop there and think about that, because there you'll see the heart of a mother. Women, we have this natural. And I'm going to say sometimes, if you did not have this happen, it's because you were wounded, you were hurt, and you'd already sealed yourself up with something. But it is natural for a woman, when she gets married to the man she loves, she starts saying, I want to have your baby, right? Oh, I just want to have your baby. You know, I already had 4 children, had been through divorce when Harvey and I married. I was already 28 or something. I think I was 28. And I didn't want more kids. I already had 4. I had already lost 1 child. So I'd been through 5 pregnancy. Done. And then I marry Harvey. We're in love. And it starts rising up in me, this mothering. I go, I want to have your baby. And he's like, I wanted a pre-made family. I don't want to have babies. I don't need to have babies. You know, I like that the kids are older. Well, is it okay if I ask God what he thinks about it? So I went over his head, and God said yes. So, you know, I felt like Hannah. Hannah was crying into the Lord and saying, she went into the temple in front of Eli, the priest, and she's crying and wailing, lamenting, and carrying on. Why? She wanted to have her husband's baby. She wanted that little piece of him mixing with a piece of her, becoming a person they created who's a part of both of them. There's something in women, in mothers, that wants to do that. When here we are with the heart of God saying, I want to take this chosen man and this chosen certain woman, and I want a piece of him and a piece of her and a piece of me, and let's create a human. So the mother heart of God wanted to have a baby. He wanted a baby. And before he even knew Jeremiah, he's already up there getting all excited about creating this child. And he has to find the just right mom and dad, because he already knows exactly who he wants this person to be. Before he was even in the womb. Not before he was even birthed. Oh, before he created him and even put him in a womb, before she was even pregnant with him. And that's a mother's heart. Dads don't usually sit around going, oh, I just want you to have a baby. You know, that's usually a mother thing. That's usually the mother thing. And then he goes on in that same verse, verse 5, and before you came forth out of the womb, now they're in the womb together. Who is in the womb with that baby? A mother. The mother's spirit is in there with that baby. Moms, if you've ever had a baby, you know that. That baby's in your belly. You know them already, spirit to spirit. You're beginning to know that child. You're in love with them. You're protecting that belly. And there's something already bonding, already happening. See, this mother thing of God is something so unique, so special, so different from fathering. And that's the heart of God. He is your mother. Not only your father, he's your mother. If you have not opened up to that concept, you have missed the comfort that you're going to get from God today. So, it's going to begin today and then continue on. So he says, I wanted you, I craved to have you, then I was with you in that womb. I was right there with you every minute as you developed and grew. And while God's in that womb with him, with Jeremiah, he says, "And I sanctified you. I set you apart for a special purpose. I said, this one, this one." And he says it to every one of us. He's such a good mommy. I don't know how you could love that many people that same special way if you've had more than one child. You see every one of them differently. Everyone is special in a different way. "I set you apart, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." What do we do when we ordain somebody? What does the word even mean? You lay hands on them, and you impart. You impart spiritually the presence and anointing, the power of God, for them to do what they were created to do. So God's in that womb, and he lays hands on this baby in the womb and ordains him, imparts all the gifting, all the personality, all the ability, the talent, the quality, everything it's going to take for him to become a prophet to the nations. He imparted himself. See, the seed came from daddy, and the egg was there from mommy. And God's in there pouring his own self into that baby as he grows and develops. It's an amazing thing. And this is within the mother heart of God. Daddy hasn't looked on that baby yet. Of course, God is both father and mother. But I believe when we're born, when we're brought forth from the womb, there's the daddy. Now daddy comes in contact. He takes that baby in his arms and he looks into him and he looks into him saying, "My son, my daughter." And those eyes look into the eyes of that baby and impart the fathering at the birthday. Now, Jeremiah, though all this happened to him already in that womb, I already told you about Hannah, so I'm going to skip past that part. Jeremiah 1:5b, "Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." But look what Jeremiah says. Now he's got this word from God. He's not in the womb anymore. Now he's a young man. And God comes to him and brings him a word. And he says to him, Jeremiah says, verse 6, "Then said I, Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." He did not think he could do it. He didn't believe he could be a prophet to the nations. He said, "I can't even talk. I'm like a little child. I can't talk. You must have missed it, God. I'm the wrong guy for the job. I can't do it." What do mothers do when you're raising your children? We believe in them. Mothers believe in those children. We see who they really were created to be. We see their gifting, their talent, their, you know, my son John, I think he was just born with this gift for technology. It wasn't as popular back then, but I mean, that boy got his hands on everything he could get his hands on. At the youngest age, he could possibly do it, and he just had a gift. Now, others didn't recognize that gift, and they might not have said, buy a child, one of the very first techie games that came out. I think it was an Atari. But because I saw he had a gift, we bought him an Atari. And then we bought him the first computer that was priced where normal people could get one. And I mean, that boy was in heaven, you know. He was just in heaven. He was taking things apart and putting things together, and he just had a gift. And I saw that gift, and I provided what he needed, and I believed in him. I believed in him. I saw within my son Jim a call to preach. Now, Jim didn't see it until he was about 13, but I saw it. I saw it, and I knew it, and I've watched him, and I've believed in him, and I've prayed into that. Others, there were times even his wife said, as an adult, when he said, "I'm going to preach," his wife said, "Do they really know you at that church? I mean, I know your sin. Do you really think you can be a preacher?" His own wife was not seeing it. But his mom saw it from the time he was a little child. God has the mother heart. And he comes to Jeremiah and he says, Jeremiah, you're a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah says, oh, I can't. I can't do it. And what does this mother heart of God do? He does what a mother does. He says, say not I am a child, but the Lord said unto me, here's word again. You can try to argue with God, but when you're getting a word of what God says about you, believe it. He says, I can't do it, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. And he goes on and says, don't be afraid of their faces. He knows why Jeremiah thinks he can't speak. He's afraid of people. This is one of the boldest prophets, but he was scared of people before he stepped into his call. He said, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Do you know that you can do what you can't do if God says he's with you to do it? I mean, when he gives you that word, the very thing you say, I'm scared, I can't, what if I die? And God says, you won't die. Go, I'm with you. I'll deliver you. Oh, then I have nothing to be afraid of. Because I heard what God said, and I believed it, and I claimed it, and now I'm going to go do it. So he believed in him, and a mother does that. When that child says, Mom, I just can't do this. And she says, I know you can do it. And something comes alive in that child, and they do it. Because Mom told them they could. That's the mother heart of God. Do you see why you need this? Because he's the one who's going to tell you who you are. And when he does, you don't get to argue. When he does and you believe him, you get changed. Amen. It transforms you. It puts a confidence in you. Not because you're any different than you were 5 minutes ago when you couldn't do it, but because now you know he's going to do it. God, I can't stand up and speak. I'm boring. I mean, this was my issue. First, I'm a woman and nobody listens to women. Secondly, I'm scared of everybody. I'm shy. Thirdly, I'm boring, God. I speak monotone. I'm not like animated man here. You know, I can't do this. And God said, I said you're going to do it. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And then I'm going to follow people around. One of my best friends, who you'd think liked to listen to me, didn't. And she said, you know, when you preach or teach, it's like, you know, like I don't really get a lot out of it. She says, but something like those words follow me around all week and keep nagging me. I can't get rid of them. It's like they just stick to me and won't let go. And it just keeps coming back and back and back. Well, good. That's God chasing you home with that word. Yeah. You know, the word of God, when God is in it, ought to change your life. Right. Now, there is the anointing on the one speaking it. And then there is the receiving on the one hearing it. You got to believe it. And you've got to claim it. Not just believe it with a someday faith. Begin claiming it. If he said it, start telling him, you said it. Move on it by claiming it. I'm going to get to a verse he showed me yesterday. I'm claiming, and it's awesome, and it's mothering. I'll get there pretty soon. So this guy believes in us. He believes in us. And he goes on to tell Jeremiah, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And then in verse 9, I love it. If you are called to speak for God, love verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. That's what I beg God to do. God, put your words in my mouth. Put your breath in those words. If you're called to speak, make that your prayer, that he will touch your mouth and put his words in your mouth. That is, even if you're not called to speak or preach, you are called to speak to an individual. You are called a witness to someone. So everybody should be claiming this verse. God, you want me to talk to this person? Because you're out and God says, tell that person over there that I love them. Give them a message from me. Whatever it might be. And you're going, if they don't want to hear from you? What if, you know? Just stop and say, God, touch my mouth, put your words in my mouth. And then you go and say what you believe he gave you to say. And believe that he will put his words in your mouth. Act on it. Take the faith to act on it. That is just so awesome. And you know, God has mothered me, but he snuck up on me a lot of times with it. You know, I didn't know he was in the mothering mode. I just thought he was still the father. But I remember when Harvey and I went on that 27-day drive around America, and we just went to different ministries, and it was so awesome. And we were in a complete black church down in the south, and I can't dance like those people. I mean, I love to dance, but they're like hyper-energizer bunnies, like jump up and down so fast, it was like heart attack, you know? I tried it for a while, and then I decided I'm just going to lay on the floor. I can't keep up with this. And I laid on the floor, and it was like I felt the presence of God fill me completely. I could feel him in my toes, feel him in my body, in my hands. I could feel him like he was just everywhere inside of me. And then he put a kiss on my lips, just a gentle kiss on my lips. And it was like I felt like my lips got big. I mean, I felt like huge lips. And they were just full of power. And he said, give it away. Now, I wish I could feel that his words are in my mouth. We don't get to feel it because we live by faith. It's wonderful when he gives us a feely thing like that. But he said, that kiss is on your lips for the rest of your life, even if you don't feel it. When you kiss somebody in my name, I'm going to kiss them. Isn't that awesome? It should make me want to kiss everybody, but see, I was still so inhibited. I'm not a kisser, you know? So that was still a hard word for me to carry. It was a real hard word for me to, I don't want to kiss everybody. That's not me, you know? But whenever it comes to my mind, it's not like I can just walk through here and start kissing everybody. But when it rises up and he says, remember the kiss, then I know he's wanting to give it when he wants to do it. You know, it's awesome. Maybe he's giving you a hug or he's put his touch in your fingers and you don't have to feel it. But when a word comes and says, I am in that touch, I am in that hug, give it when he rises up in you. That anointing's there. Nate? Isaiah 6, verse 7. Isaiah 6, 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I like the rest too. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. He said, these people have made their ears heavy. They hear, but they don't hear. They hear the words, but they don't hear the power. They don't hear the life of those words. That's another whole subject, but it's really exciting. I want to look at God as the comforter, because our mothers are also our comforters. And boy, do we need comforting and healing. If we do not get the comforting and healing, then we can't function. Hurting people just become dysfunctional. I forgot to give you this saying, though, at the end of, we were planned, we were created, we were designed, we were mothered, we're fathered, we're put here. Apostle Bill used to say, on purpose, with a purpose. You are here on purpose, with a purpose. And we need to know that. So once you know that, Psalm 139:14, you'll be able to say, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows right well. Do you know right well who you are? Who he made you to be? So that you can say, oh God, good job. I praise you for who you made me to be. Not, I wish I were so and so. But I'm glad to be me. I'm a design of God, a creation of the King. So now let's move on to the healing heart of God. When you get hurt, normally children run to their mother. Because if they run to their dad with their little scraped knee, dad would say, "Buck up, buddy, be tough." Mommy would say, "Oh, let me fix that and wash it off. You want a cold rag? Maybe you need a Band-Aid. Maybe just a hug." Do you know, there is so much power in love. God is love. There is power in love. It's not just a mushy, good feel thing. There's power in it. I can't say it has substance because you can't touch it, see it, feel it. But if you could see the power of love, it actually flows from God inside and does a tremendous, powerful healing in us. And that is exciting. And he put a lot of that kind of love and compassion in mothers. That's why we want to run into mommy's arms when we're hurt, even brokenhearted, not just a physical pain, but brokenhearted. Boy, I remember the first time a girl dumped my son and he was sharing it with me, tore his little heart out. Oh, my gosh. I know I hurt worse than he did. It was just ripping me apart inside. I wished I could take all that pain myself and him not have to go through that. Moms, we'd do that, wouldn't we, in a minute. If I could take all the pain, whether it's physical or emotional, if I could just say, "God, take it off them and let them be happy, I'll take it all." We would do that. We can't stand to see our babies hurt. So my friend's child died in the train wreck, and she wasn't there. All she could do was talk about, "My little girl was in that car. She was terrified. She was afraid. Maybe she suffered before she died. I wasn't there. I couldn't hold her. I couldn't comfort her. I couldn't help her." That mom could not let go of the fact she wasn't there to comfort her. That's the heart of a mother, aching to comfort and take the pain away. The problem is, we can't always accomplish that, but God can. Because see, his love, ours is right here, as awesome as it feels for our child, and his is like up here on a power level. He actually can take the pain. He actually can change what can't be changed when we bring the pain to him. And that's why we need him as a mommy, because we have been hurt. I mean, we live in a hurtful world. A wicked, evil, devil-controlled society of people who want to hurt us. The enemies who want to destroy us. And we've had that throughout our life. We've had rejection. We've had heartache. We've had physical pain so much that we've built these walls. We've built these restraints. We've built this, "I'm not getting too close to anybody. I don't need that again. I don't want that pain again. I can't trust them. If I pour my life out to them, they'll hurt me." You're right, they probably will. So why do we risk it? They need love. They need friends. They need help. Yeah, but I got to protect me. Not if you're healed. Not if you truly, truly get the healing from those hurts. And that's what the mother heart of God can do. He can crawl up in his lap. He wraps you up in his arms. And that love pours in you, and it's peace like a river. That love becomes peace, and it just gets inside of you, and you don't even know what's going on, but all of a sudden the pain's gone. All of a sudden there's no pain in it anymore, because he has miracle working love and comfort, and it's awesome. We have to open up to him for that. So Isaiah 66:13, the Lord says, and from here, the next couple of verses, this is what he showed me yesterday that got me really excited. 66:13, "As one whom his mother comforts," just that exact same way your mama would do it, "so will I comfort you." God comforts me like a mother. And then in 14, he says, "And when you see this," get that, "when you see this, when you see that God will comfort you just like He is your mother, when you see that, your heart will rejoice. It'll be healed. It won't be broken anymore. And your bones shall flourish. You hear how deep that healing is? It even becomes physical. Your heart, your emotions will be healed. And deep down inside your bones, which is the worst and hardest place to be sick, will also be healed. Your bones will flourish. Where's the rest of my verse? Because I broke into the middle of it. They will flourish. No. 14. I know I wrote a bunch of words in the middle. They will flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants and His indignation toward His enemies. Who are those enemies He's going to be known to? Those spirits that are holding you in a painful prison. God says, when you see, when you really see what my love and my comfort, my mothering can do, your heart will rejoice, be healed, and your bones will flourish. They will begin to sprout. They will begin to grow. They will begin to blossom and bloom. And it even says, take wings and fly. You'll get free. You'll get free. Deep down inside of you will come this freedom. And he says, like an herb, which is a little sprout of tender new grass. That's like just taking you right back to how he created you, to the innocence of the newborn you that can now grow and fly out in who you really are. That's what this depth of healing can do, this mothering of God. We have to learn how to take every tear, every wound, every rejection, every offense, because they're going to keep coming. We need to take the past ones. We need to take the current ones. Because when we do, we're able to forgive. We're able to love those that don't deserve it. We're able to continue letting the power and love of God flow through us, to us, and then through us, to those people that just keep wounding us. Because it's the enemy. It's the hate, the rejection, the criticism. It's all those things, the discouragements, the disappointments. It's all of that that brings us right back into our prison. And the real self can't live anymore. Stifles us, locks the doors, shuts us back in. We have to see it. What do we have to see? God is my mommy. God is my comforting, healing mama. And I need to see him that way. Let him hold me and kiss my boo-boos. And then we won't have all these expectations on people. They'll be on him. We won't have bitterness and disappointments ruling inside of our heart. We'll have peace like a river. Thank you for your word, Lord. Please breathe life in it. Follow us around with it. Help us learn how to do it, how to receive you that way. Pour your love, pour your healing mommy love on our hearts so that we can let it pour through us onto other hearts. In the name of Jesus, quicken your word. Amen. Anybody, you can ask the question, but do you have a testimony how God has done this in you? Or anything you want to share? Because one thing I said to Harvey this morning, when I went through fathering with God, in the beginning I could not see my stepdad as my dad. I couldn't see him. I couldn't relate to him. I couldn't trust him. I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't put him in that role. But after I had all this healing, I could imagine my dad. And I bonded with that dad that God had chosen to father me. And now who is saved, healed, and in heaven, I was able to bond with his spirit and see him as the one God chose for me. Fall so in love with him. that I can't wait to get to heaven. He's my daddy, the one God chose. And I could see God daddy in me through him now. Then it came to mothering, and I'm like, oh, I love my mom. She was like a best friend in the end later years. She was like a best friend to me. But my mom wasn't a real affectionate. The thought of climbing up on my mom's lap as an infant, nursing, cuddling, being cuddled and babied, and, you know, even as a toddler, I couldn't even picture my mother as God doing it through her to me. God, you do it directly, because I can't put my mom in that picture, you know. I can't imagine that. My healing isn't done. Far from it. I need a lot of mothering. Harvey, too. I ask him, can you see your mom that way? And he's like, no. That's not my mom, you know. That's because our moms were hurt. They were wounded. They couldn't do that. Now, God wants to do it directly until you're so healed that you could even envision that person who didn't do it as God healed them. And you could have that relationship with them, too. And we pray for them to be healed so they can be the mommy God wanted them to be or the daddy God wanted them to be. If they accepted him in heaven, you'll have that relationship, that bonding with them. So you can kind of ask yourself inside of you how you view your mom or dad, where you're at in your healing from the real person, to find out if you need more healing from God. Anybody want to say anything? Harvey. Apostle Harvey. Come.
The things that she said, you can't give what you don't have. So don't take a burden if when she said the natural feelings are such and such. You may not have those natural feelings because you didn't get it as a child. We have said here so many times, hurting people cannot help but to hurt other people. When people are hurting and they don't get their healing, they don't learn how to forgive, they don't go to God and get their, they're like girls. They don't, let's say they don't get proper fathering or mothering believed in. Then they go out and they either sleep with all these guys looking for a man, looking for a daddy, looking for this need to be met. Will you accept me? Will you love me? Will you believe in me? And so they just sleep with all these guys. Or they go and become a that's what it is, a lesbian. Because they're looking for a mommy. Do you understand? And it's like ABC we keep talking about. Anything but Christ. They're trying everything but Christ. They're not coming to Christ. So you, in your life, had a mom, though she may have been the most awesome person on the planet, she wasn't God. And she was hurting. And there was things she was not able to give you. And you need to go to God to get them. And God will give you his healing. Like she talked about, it must be, because when she said it, it just clicked inside of me, and it clicked inside of me when she was talking. We can relate to God as daddy because it's not as intimate. And I already thought it was already so intimate, but when she started talking about the mommy, I'm like, wow, it's going to get even deeper. It's going to get even gooder.
You know what? I've even seen it in you, because when you have that confidence that your mother believes in you and it's put confidence in you,
right.
Others can't take that away.
Right.
But because I am his female, when he's under attack by other people, he handles it. When I join and say, you know, they're right, you really were wrong, he gets so upset. He says, I can't take it when you say it. I can't take it when it comes from you. He needs me to give him that mommy in. Because he needs somebody to be the one who totally believes in him and is always on his side. That shows that he hadn't gotten that yet. You know? But God can give it to you.
But there's a lot that my mom did give me. I was thinking yesterday, I had awesome parents. I still believe I I do. But they were unsaved. So there was this awesome things that they put in me, like work attitude and stick to it and don't give up and respect and honor and all these things. All this good stuff. You got to look at the good stuff. There's good stuff. But they can't help that they couldn't give what they didn't have. They weren't saved. They didn't know how to give that love. You know, they weren't others-minded. They were selfish. They couldn't help that.
There's nobody perfect. Nobody's perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Therefore, none of us had perfect parents. No matter how good they weren't perfect. There's still something lacking. God wants to finish parenting us.
That's
so we can be mature, completed adults. He just wants to finish
God
it.
God is wanting to complete in us.
Right. In our transformation.
We'll perform it or complete it.
Right.
Right. It's more. It's like we haven't arrived. We understand stuff, but there's more we need. We've already received. Thank you, Jesus, for what I've received. Thank you for the parents you gave me. Thank you for everything you put in my life to get me to hear the recipes for my life to get me to hear. But, Lord, there's more. Teach me how to enter into that. Help me to not put up blocks, think I've arrived, all that stupid stuff. You know what I mean?
And the Bible says honor your mother and father.
Right.
And we want to honor our mothers and fathers.
Right.
So, sometimes we're afraid to say what they didn't do because we won't be honoring them. But we need to be honest, too. And I always pray before I mention mother or father in healing that I honor them, I love them, and there were so many good things about my parents. And then in the end, they both had given their life to God, and they were really, really awesome. But they were still wounded people who weren't able to complete what I needed growing up. And because God has led me to share some of those things for your healing, it's not a dishonoring of them. I believe they would want that in order for you to be healed and brought into God. You know, so I love my mom and dad, both of them. They're both in heaven. Thank the Lord.